the real essence of being ruled by laws is that decisions are made in courts, and government bodies make decisions based on what has been agreed to in writing. We as women in this country do not have the foundational law that recognizes our rights as citizens of the United States. So when we go into a courtroom, the judge is not looking at foundational law that says that a man and a woman have equal rights. Doesn't say, we're not looking for equal, that men and women are equal, but equal rights under the law. And that would create different outcomes. So the ERA was basically saying, let's just get it in the Constitution, the foundational document of the United States of America, that both sexes are equal under the law. And Alice Paul in 1923 came up with the language. We basically are pushing for the same language to be incorporated into the Constitution of the United States so that women can have the confidence that they legally have the same standing under the law as a man does. Obviously, women have different issues than men have, and there are legal issues that have to do with being a parent, because women give birth, that are different. But there are things that are the same, such as equal pay, such as safety, such as health. So, for instance, in the United States today, with the inequality of pay, that's something that could have been in the courts 40, 50 years ago, or certainly after 1972, when we originally went for the ERA amendment to be passed at the second wave of feminism, since it wasn't passed in 1923. And imagine that our workplace today, what difference would there be in the number of women CEOs? What difference would there be in innovation? What difference would there be to young women's aspirations if there was equal pay? And this, what kind of world would we have if women here in the United States believed that they were equal under the law? I think for both men and women, it would be a much fuller and joyful life than we have right now. Neither one of my mother's parents, both of whom I was fortunate enough to know, had an education. Both of them were immigrants who, once they got to the United States, were put to work at the age of 6 and 8. One of the things that my grandmother always told me was to not depend on someone else, that there was pride in creating your own financial security. And that greatly influenced me. And the other thing that she told me was to leave the world a better place than you found it. So maybe I expanded upon that with every experience that I had as a young child with social injustice, because this was not adding up these experiences, leaving the world a better place than I found it. I had the experience of going to a high school where I was the only Jew in the high school. And this is amazing because it was only 17 miles north of Manhattan, Grand Central, 17 miles north of Grand Central. And I experienced severe anti-Semitism to the point where at certain turns I was afraid of being in school. And it made no sense. I mean, there's no logic to it. I was not a threat to anybody. And so I understand that so much of this bad acting, whether it's towards women or towards people that are different or someone that says something that you don't like, none of that behavior really results in the desired outcome. The desired outcome is for you, the person who is bullying, to feel more secure, and for the person who's being bullied to feel accepted. So there is a way around all this, and I think through the work of social justice, So early on in college, thinking of social justice and getting involved with some of the marches that were happening at the time in Washington for equal rights for people of color. And it really morphed. I saw that there was an opportunity to also express myself as a woman who felt the lack of rights in the law for me. And being able at this point in my life to dedicate myself to getting the ERA finally passed. So when the coalition was started about 5 years ago, I was particularly concerned with what could we accomplish. And in some of our early meetings, I said, look, I just want to get the ERA passed before I die, before I kick the bucket. And the comeback usually is, oh, come on, you don't think it's going to take that long. I said, well, let's not forget that it was first introduced in 1923. And I do think that the idea that 80% of Americans believe that the ERA passed just shows what an uphill battle this is. Fortunately, we had two more states approve the ERA in the last 3 years, so we only have one more state to go, and we did submit to the Congress a bill that would lift the deadline. And then we are also asked, how is this going to change things for women? And I don't think there's any immediate change that will be felt, because it will take time for the laws to be considered and how the outcomes will be changed as a result of women being equal under the law. The quote that I found that has remained with me forever and was on my desk for all the years that I went to an office or was working was Golda Meir. She said, nothing just happens. It's a lot longer, but that's the part that sticks. Mm. And it certainly applies to anything that has to do with positive change. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of energy and dedication and passion. And don't expect things to be easy. Nothing just happens.